Welcome to the show today. I am so thrilled to have an awesome guest for you today. This is so exciting. I am sharing with you Jay Jameson. He is the co-writer and director of the inspiring new drama, TRI. Jay grew up in Richmond's vibrant film and arts community. He attended Hampton University as an English major, where he devoted much of his free time to making short films and screening them in Richmond at Project Resolution. While at Hampton, he was awarded a scholarship to study film at Oxford University during the summer before his senior year. Jay's latest project is the award-winning feature film, TRI. This is an inspirational sports drama focused on the world of triathlons. I am so excited about this film, Jay, and so honored to have you on the show. I would like to say welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I am excited to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. Please share with the listeners. Let's begin with, how did the making of TRI come about?
TRI started as the brainchild of Ted Adams, the executive producer and co-writer of the film. Ted is himself a triathlete. He's a two-time Ironman finisher and a certified coach. And he kind of looked around at the sport and saw that there weren't any narrative films about that subject, about triathlon and the world of competitive races and triathletes. So he took it upon himself because he knew that he had a lot of stories, and he raced with people and trained with people who had a lot of really interesting, funny, inspiring, dramatic, moving stories. And he kind of gathered a bunch of those stories, put a treatment together. And he, along with the writer named Monica Belay, wrote the original draft of the script. And then they were looking for a director. And so they talked to Russell Williams, who's a two-time Academy Award winner for sound design and is the artist in residence at American University, where I went to grad school. And they asked Russell if he knew of any young filmmakers, any filmmakers that he would recommend to direct the film. And Russell contacted me, asked me to send him either my reel, some of my films, and he forwarded them along. And Ted saw my thesis film and just really responded to it. He liked the sensibility and the tone and the voice that I brought to it. So Ted contacted me and hired me to direct the film, and then along with Ted, I wound up doing a rewrite of the script as well, which is how I became a co-writer on the film.
Yes.
So from there, it just became, you know, it was a madcap kind of production schedule as we, you know, we put the film together.
Oh, I love it! That is so fantastic. Very. What a fun history in that coming about. And I can only imagine, Jay, you know, we watch the triathlons, we see the athlete, but there must be so many inspiring stories behind those athletes, you know, how they came to be where they're at.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And part of the, what the storyline is for TRI is looking at the cross-section between people who run triathlons and the causes that a lot of them run for or because of. There's the character that inspires the main character in the film to do the triathlon is a cancer patient. And there's Ted originally started doing triathlon to raise money for cancer awareness to honor both of his parents who passed away from cancer. So there's there's definitely that other aspect of people racing for causes, racing to raise money for research, racing in someone's memory and to honor them, and also cancer patients themselves who have survived cancer and who take it upon themselves to, as a challenge, to kind of reclaim their bodies. They'll run in triathlons. So Ted always tells the story at one of his triathlons, and this really stuck with me as we were talking about the making the film. One of his, I think it was his first race, it was the Nations Triathlon, which is the race that we feature, one of the races we feature in the movie. He sees a woman that has a shirt that says, if you think this is hard, try chemotherapy. And it's stories like that, it's people yes. like that, that really are the inspiration for us making this film. There's really the catalyst. It's we're trying to honor those stories of those people who have overcome amazing obstacles and people who are running and racing for in honor of people who have overcome and or who are fighting those obstacles.
Yes. When I watched your beautiful trailer, I just became so excited and so touched because I could feel already what an inspiring movie this is going to be. It really is.
It's funny because when I was hired to do the film, I had never been to a triathlon before. And so as soon as I got hired, I said, I have to find one. So the closest one to me, I'm from Richmond, Virginia. The closest one was a triathlon in Hampton, Virginia. So I got my sister up on a Saturday morning at like 5 a.m. and we hopped in the car and we drove down to Hampton to go to this triathlon.
Yes.
And the spirit, the vibe, of that triathlon was just amazing. You had all of these people that were racing it and the anticipation and their the nerves, but then you also had all the volunteers and the spectators and the people that were there, the community that was there to support. There's definitely a competitive aspect to it, but there's also a very supportive aspect to triathlon because outside of a few people who are pros, most of the people are in these triathlons are just they're competing against themselves. They're trying to set their own personal records. They're trying to prove things to themselves. And all of the people, the volunteers, the spectators, are all there cheering them on. And that was kind of the vibe and experience I wanted to bring to the film. I remember one specific story from that first triathlon where there was this older fella, probably had to have been in his late 60s, maybe early 70s, and it was in the transition area. So they were all of the athletes were transitioning from the swim to the bike, and he was one of the last ones to kind of learn in the last wave. And a lot of the people in the first wave had already come in from the bike and were on the run. So he was taking the time, he kind of made his way through the into the transition area, and he's changing out of his wetsuit, putting on his bike gear and putting on his helmet. He's walking his bike out to the area where you're out of the transition area where you mount up and ride off. And all of the volunteers knew him. I guess he was a regular at this triathlon or at various triathlons, and they were all cheering him on. Let's go, Don. Come on, Don. You got this. All right, Don, I see you. And so then he gets to the transition area and the mountain, and he mounts his bike and he looks around and he says, well, leave the light before me, and he just pedals off. And that moment, it brought a big smile to my face, this big goofy grin that didn't leave my face for the rest of the afternoon. And that that's when I knew what I wanted the film to be. I wanted people to leave the theater with a big goofy grin on their face.
Yes, yes. So you are capturing so much of that passion and support and, you know, what people go through to inspire to complete that, aren't you? Oh, that is so exciting.
Absolutely. That's definitely what one of our goals was.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So were you involved in the casting process, Jay?
I was. It was, like I said, we had we had kind of a whirlwind pre-production process because from the day I was hired to direct and rewrite the script, we had a concrete start date that was about 6 or 7 weeks away, which is a very, very, very truncated pre-production time. So we were moving super fast, and the reason we had that concrete start date is because we were filming at an actual triathlon. So we couldn't ask them to move that date back. Like, that date was set for them.
Yes.
So we were working with one of the producers and the casting director, Kimberly Skirm, who's based out of Baltimore, did a fantastic job of scouring the East Coast and parts of LA for actors who were, it was important that we had actors who were athletes. A lot of people ask if they were triathletes, and before the film, none of them were. A couple of them actually just did the Luray triathlon last weekend. So one of the triathlons we filmed at. So they went back a year later and did the triathlon themselves. So a couple of them are now triathletes. But we found a lot of athletes who could act really well, or actors who were really good athletes.
Yes.
Like I said earlier, Ted is a certified triathlon coach. So he was kind of our man on the ground, helping them learn how to clip into the bikes and ride the bike the right way and have the right form when swimming and all of that. So,
yes. But
in terms of the casting, it was really, you know, we found some really talented actors from the East Coast area, and then we were also able to get a couple of actors that came in from LA who were just also phenomenal. I was really, really happy with the cast that we were able to put together for the film.
Oh.
Just a phenomenal group of actors.
I love it. I love it. I cannot wait to see Try. We are going to pop out for a break, everyone, but I will be right back with Jay. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. I am here with Jay Jameson. He is sharing, if you are just joining us, information regarding his new award-winning feature film, Try. Jay, it is so fantastic. You have won awards for this film. How did that make you feel? How does it make you feel to create such a spectacular film for others?
It's really the response has been overwhelming. I mean, it feels great. You know, as a first-time feature film director, I've done a bunch of shorts and music videos, but, you know, I make films to speak to an audience and I make films that, you know, I hope that people will like, and the fact that, you know, we've won awards and people have recognized, you know, the film and all of the hard work that the entire cast and crew put into it to make, you know, this work of love. That's just been fantastic. It's been a great year, you know, making the film and then screening it for people and having audiences respond and laugh at the right parts and shed a tear at the right parts and really, you know, start conversations and have people feel good. Have people leave the theater with the big goofy grin on their face like I wanted them to. So it's really been fantastic and to to see the way the audiences have been responding to this piece.
Yes, I love your comment, this work of love. That is so fantastic. And I have to say, just watching the trailer, I just felt the beautiful energy and inspiration in this film. It is so exciting. I just can't wait. And with that, can you tell us, Jay, where and when the next screenings will be?
All right. So we've been screening the film all over the country, kind of promotional one-night screenings in various cities. If you want to see where the film is screening next, you can go to our website, which is tryforacure.com. That's T-R-I-F-O-R cure.com. And there's a little tab there that has the most recent screening information. I know at the end of this month, August 31st, we have a screening in Philadelphia. I believe on the 30th, we have a screening in Arizona. And then we have a couple of screenings in Canada next month. And we have a screening in Maryland in October. But we're constantly adding screenings as people, you know, we've been getting a lot of requests. For people to have screens in their area. And so, if you go to our website, there's information on how to request a screening in your area. And, you know, and we'll set you up and kind of have a conversation with you and try to get the film to your area. In the meantime, we've been talking to a couple of distributors about a wider release rollout plan where, you know, the film will be available digitally. And on DVD later this year, early next year.
Okay.
But in the meantime, you know, look out for screenings in your area. And then if there isn't one, then, you know, try to contact us via the website and our Facebook group, which if you search hashtag try movie, you should be able to find, our Facebook.
Excellent. I love it. And to my listeners out there, when it's available on DVD, I will post information on my website for you as well, because I'm sure you're all as excited as I am. So what, tell me, Jay, with this movie, it's, you know, this is going to be a great film for athletes themselves. I'm sure it's going to be a great film for the people behind them, the support, and as you mentioned, people that have gone through health challenges. I mean, it's really a big spectrum of the people that are just going to get so much out of this film, isn't there?
Absolutely. You know, like we describe Try as an inspirational sports drama. But like many other sports dramas, it's not usually about the sport itself. Oftentimes the sport is our window. It's our way into looking at more universal themes that I think everyone can relate to. And that was the way I approached making the film. Like I said before, when I was hired, I had never been to a triathlon. I am not a triathlete yet. I may do one in the next year or so. It's still to be determined if I can find the time to train and do one. But I was able to, I looked at ways I could approach the character and get into the character's heads, in a way that I felt would be universal. And that's, you know, the main character, Natalie, is famous for never finishing anything. Like all of her friends know that's just her MO. She'll pick up a book and, you know, have, you know, 75 pages in, she'll put a bookmark into it and they never get back to it.
Yes.
She'll start decorating the guest room in a new way and just kind of lose interest or move on to something else. And so when she's inspired by this cancer patient to sign up for a triathlon, the whole point is just finishing. It's just crossing the finish line. It's not necessarily winning for a lot of these characters. It's just proving to yourself that you can finish, that you can cross the finish line. And so as someone who is, you know, I've been a writer for a long time. You know, before I even wanted to make films, I wanted to be a novelist. I've written a lot of screenplays, and I have a lot of screenplays that I have not finished. So it's kind of a universal thing that I could hang my hat on. Where what does it feel like to not finish something, and what does it feel like to push yourself and get through and get the inspiration from people to cross that finish line? And that's what this is about. That's the message that I hope people can take away from it, both athletes and non-athletes. A lot of people I know who have seen the film who are not triathletes have said, man, it made me want to just go and get on the treadmill. You know, I'm not going to do a triathlon, but I'll go and get back in the gym. Or there have been people who have been like, man, I was refurbishing my car. You know, I was fixing up an old car, and I just kind of let it kind of go to the wayside. I kind of moved away from it, but now I'm going to go and pick those tools back up and go back to work. And that's the exact type of response I was hoping to get from the film. It's the idea that, you know, you can be inspired by other people. You can be inspired by art. You can be inspired to do things by the world around you, and that you should, one, take note of that inspiration and gather it and use it as fuel. And then you should also, when you have the opportunity, try your best to be an inspiration for someone else. Give someone a call and say, hey, you're doing a good job, or like, hey, like, you need help with something. Because that's the way that we get things done. That's the way that we achieve. And that's the way that I think we breathe positivity and disseminate it into the world. And so that was really kind of the ultimate thesis of what we wanted to do with the film. From get-go, when Ted was telling me the real-life stories that these characters are based on and what he wanted the film to be, he wanted to be a window into this world of triathlon. But he also wanted it to be a positive, inspirational message because that's what the world is. The world of triathlon is one of the most positive, inspirational communities that I've ever experienced. And so just by showcasing that, I think that there's a lot of room to apply those thoughts and that mantra and all of those lessons to everyday life. And that's what we tried to do with Try.
Oh, I love that, Jay. Yes, that is beautiful words. Because, yes, you know, that's so true. The inspiration and the commitment and the support of each other, that's all a contagious energy. We do, you know, spread that around. This has been so fantastic. I'm so sorry we have to say goodbye. I could talk right with you for an hour, Jay. Just so excited for this film.
Thank you so much for having me on. This was really fantastic.
Oh, you are so welcome. I'm so excited to share this show with everyone. And you have a great day, Jay. I'm just so thankful to have had you here today.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and you do the same.
Thank you. And to all our listeners out there, thank you for joining us today. Love, hugs, and blessings. Goodbye. Everyone, this is Paula Vale, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on BBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program. And look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Today I am sharing with you Shina Key. I am so happy to have her with us today. Shina is the voice for financial and business empowerment. Isn't that awesome? As the founder and CEO, Shina Key, author, speaker, financial and business empowerment coach, she has tailored a powerful movement dedicated to empower you and the audience around the world to build your empire. Oh my gosh, I am so excited to chat with you, Shina. First off, I'd like to say welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you for having me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Much gratitude.
Oh, my honor. It's just so wonderful to share amazing people like you that are doing so much for others. I'm so grateful. Tell us a little bit, what brought you on the path you're on? How did you come down this path?
Well, it all started, I was born into an entrepreneurship family with my dad. You know, he owned a nightclub and always constantly instilled in me and my siblings about being your own boss. So, of course, that stayed in my mind throughout my years. And as I grew up, I started unconsciously telling my peers and friends, family, everyone about entrepreneurship and about credit and everything amongst those lines. So I was into like real estate. I had my multiple streams going on. I was like just sharing and like empowering everyone consciously. So then I decided to go public with it. And I've gone public just about a year ago and decided to share with the world all my knowledge, because knowledge is priceless. Yes. So throughout the continuous self-taught and like just, you know, being a real estate agent, owning the most a multi-cleaning franchise, and being a loan officer. I was a loan processor in the commercial, well, not the commercial, in the corporate America world. So with all those things tied in together, I decided to use my information and knowledge and share it with the world. And here I am today. I am the author of Wealth is a Mindset and put it all in black and white to help people around the world to build their empire.
I love it. And since then, you have become a public figure in your area of expertise, haven't you?
Yes, I have. And it's actually going so well. And I feel like a giant now because I just actually released today a tell-all. So today I just released a tell-all about myself. So that is going to be amazing, and the buzz that comes from it, because most will say I'm private and secretive about, you know, my private life. And I do understand and do try to tell people that business is personal. So it has to, you know, it does tie in together. So I decided to do a tell-all and dig a little deep in on the personal side as well.
So you can be able
to relate where I come from.
Yes. I love that your father owned a nightclub. I was a restaurant owner for many years. And it's
okay.
True. Your business does become personal, you know, and you...
Yes.
You make that connection with your clients or customers, employees, and that business, it's part of your personality. I love that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
How long now have you been a public figure?
a little over a year, a little over a year that I became public. But over 15 years unconsciously, you know, that I've been empowering people. So, yes.
Tell us a little bit about your services, what you do with empowering people. Is it through speaking engagements? Is it through consultations, one-on-one? Tell us a bit about what you do.
Okay, I do it a little, you know, sometimes depend on the client, you know, their request. I do tailor-made speeches. I do workshops. I do one-on-one consultations. So mainly through speaking engagements and events that I do, you know, empowerment. So I do get people that request one-on-one, you know, after the workshops and the events and stuff that I go to, I get people to request a one-on-one. So whatever the needs is, I am here to fulfill them. Whatever way I can empower you, whether it's one-on-one or you request me to do a workshop, you know, speaking engagement, I cover it all.
Excellent. So, and you break that down. Do I have that correct? You can instruct them and guide them on the financial end, and then also guide them on the business end. Is that how that works?
Yes. Yes. So typically, a client will definitely tell me which side they actually need empowerment on. So if it's on a financial side, we cover over things underneath the financial umbrella, such as if they need help with credit, consulting them with credit repair and educating them on how credit actually works and get their score up to par so they can, you know, save lots of money, you know, with the extra interest rates and so on and so on, that your credit affects your daily life that a lot of people don't even, you know, kind of think of. And then if they need empowerment on a business side, more to say on the business startup, like entrepreneurship and how to get going, resources on how to market, to get business cards, how to make their business uniform. So they just tell me which area they actually want it, whether it's the financial side or the side of it, and we take it from there. So, of course, if a workshop is, you know, tailor-made, it's tailor-made to, again, whether I need to talk about the financial umbrella or the business entrepreneur side of it. So, and I take it from there.
I love it. I love it. I can imagine what this does for people with that empowerment. I bet they gain confidence and, you know, a positive attitude of what I can create.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because like I mentioned all the time, my philosophy is simple, and everything to me and our brand, wealth is a mindset, because it's all about your mindset. And with my empowerment, I help people to recondition their mindsets, and they will walk away feeling better and having a better relationship with their money and their thoughts, and, you know, creating habits to where they're trying to go, whether it's trying to build a financial empire or their business empire. So I always say, just because you're not born with a silver spoon in your mouth does not mean you cannot get one. So it's all about creating the habits and reconditioning your mindset and just speaking it into existence and making it happen, execute it. Because if you're just dreaming and thinking about it, you know, it's just dreaming. You have to write it down and execute it. Now, when you write it down, now that's the goal. When you're just thinking about it, you're just dreaming. So there.
There
you have it.
I love that. And really, everything begins with that mindset, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, of course, with my background and a lot of people, my fans and stuff, I'm trying to empower mainly and reach out. My heart goes out to the, you know, minority audience and things like that, trying to get them to come aboard and get with the program, because it's for everyone. It's not just for certain, you know, races or religions or anything like that. So I'm definitely trying to get them on the ball with, you know, reconditioning their mindset as well. And then even the youth, teaching them early on, because I know some cultures teach their children at very early ages. As early as 10 years old, they're having their children, you know, with them while they're running businesses, just so it can rub off on them easily, so the torch can be passed on very easily once, you know, you become of age and ready for your children to take over. So, like, I go to, you know, maybe a Chinese restaurant or, you know, some other, you know, cultured restaurants, and you have the children running the business, running the cash register and everything else. So it's like it's very important for our youth to, you know, toggle along with this so they can see what we do and it rub off on them easily.
Yes, that's a great description how it was, you know, when I owned my restaurant. It was a family endeavor. My children,
okay,
you know, assisted, worked in the restaurant. My daughter was, okay, like my right-hand girl. And, you know, that's really a great experience for a family, too. You know, it's really a wonderful thing. I love that.
It really is. Yes, I can definitely relate, because that's how I say how my dad was a nightclub owner. Every Saturday, you know, after the accountant come over and go over the books, you know, we go to the club and, you know, go through the deliveries with them and unpack all the snacks and everything that he served at the bar. And, of course, I got my Snicker bar out the ordeal, because that was my favorite candy bar back then. So that was my treat. So it was fun. It was really fun, and we was all involved. My brother, he was the DJ. He was older than me. Is older than me. So yeah, it definitely is great to have your family involved.
That's awesome. Well, Shino, we do have to pop out for a break, but
okay,
everyone, we will be right back. Thank you, Shina.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. If you're just tuning in, I am here today with Shina Key. She is an author and speaker and a voice for financial and business empowerment. She does so much for others. I would like, before we get into discussion, Shina, please share with the listeners your website, how they can learn more about you.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. You can visit my website, www.shinakey.com. Now, I know my name is not so common, so I'm going to spell it for you. It is spelled S-H-Y-N-N-A. K-E-Y, ShinaKey.com. Yes.
Fantastic. Now, Shina, I understand you are also an author. Please tell us the name of your book and what it's about and what triggered you to write it.
Okay. My book is called Wealth is a Mindset, which is in 39,000 retail stores and in 13 countries. It is a book that is not just a book now. It's a workbook, journal, and notebook all in one. So it has your worksheets, your budgeting sheets, and everything all in this book. What inspired me to write this book was to have a tangible product, when I go and speak and do workshops and things like that. So now people are requesting even more things from me, and it opened up even more doors for me. Now I'm a contributor to, like, numerous of magazines, just basically trying to make wealth is a mindset part of the hottest topics in our communities, trying to get it out there and to encourage everyone that you can build your empire no matter where you come from, no matter your ethnic group, no matter if you have children, if you're single, no matter what. It's all about your mindset. It's not about anything else. So that was my reason for writing this book, to be a different face and a different voice, to try to grasp, you know, other people and pull them to me and be able to relate to my background and where I come from. And I actually just released a tell-all. So just basically trying to make sure we grab everyone's attention. I know I have, you know, my followers that inspired me, which is like Sue B. Orman, Les Brown. I follow them. They empower me. And I wanted to make sure I grabbed the ones that, you know, maybe left behind in the younger generation and things like that. Make sure we grab them. So that's the reason why I went public and released the book, Wealth is a Mindset. And it's a Kindle version as well. And the audio book is coming soon.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you.
With working with your clients, and I know you do speaking engagements, so because you cover the financial, you cover the business, do you break down, let's say, a game plan, a path that they can take? Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. And most of my clients, they come to me with, like, the credit on a financial side. So I break down to them how credit works, things that affect the scores, things that they need to do to improve their scores, things that they can do to, you know, keep from, you know, affecting their scores. Because a lot of people, and especially my college students, are my heart. Because once they go off to college, students from high school go off to college, credit card companies throw cards at them. And of course, credit card companies make their money from late fees and the interest rates and things like that. So I teach them about how credit actually works and tell them the tips and everything. Let them know just because you have a credit card and you spend it, let's say you don't max it out, but you can still affect your credit if you spend more than 30% of that credit card balance. You know, so it's a lot of things that they don't realize. They think they just have a credit card. Oh, I have good credit because I have a credit card. And all along, they are affecting their credit and making their score go down unconsciously, not understanding how credit and money actually works.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's
and
what I do.
I have to say, I was in that category of a college girl who didn't understand credit. I didn't have a credit card because I was a cash. You know, I worked at the restaurant. I just would pay my bills. Mm-hmm. So I thought that created good credit. And when I had the opportunity to buy the restaurant, I went to the bank to get a loan. And they said, sorry, little girl, no way. You don't have. And I'm like, but I've always paid my bills. They would give me. And do you know how I bought the restaurant? I thought, well, I guess it's a customer. I was telling a good customer, a doctor and his wife, that I guess I'm not buying a restaurant, and he said, why? And the next day, he sent his accountant with the paperwork, and he co-signed a loan. I mean,
wonderful.
And then a year later, I got him off the loan and proceeded to just own my restaurant. But I really believed I had good credit because I always paid my bills. But they said, no, you don't have credit cards, and you don't have. And when we're young, we don't understand how that works.
That's yes, absolutely.
That is awesome.
Yes, you know. Now, you know I'm a big Sue B. Orman fan as well, so you know that story. Now I know lots about her. So your story is very similar to her story on how you guys got started at a young age with the business and stuff. So that just took me back to the story I read about her, and I just wanted to share that. I'm sitting there like, wow, you know, people do really, you know, will believe in you and your vision if they see you working hard and you do what you're supposed to do. Like you said, you was always good with paying your bills, but cash. And it wasn't reported and documented in black and white for, you know, the credit bureaus to see if they can trust you with this loan. And then often people don't even understand yes, you can get approved for all these credit cards. You can get approved for a house, a car. But then when it comes to trying to get approved for like a personal loan, you can't get approved sometimes because you never had that type of line of credit. So they haven't been able to see how would you handle that type of credit. They know, of course, you're going to pay your house note, your car note, and, you know, maybe your credit cards, but they don't know, you know, how would you manage paying off this loan when you already got the business or you already got what you wanted to get with that personal loan, you see? And it's not so easy to come and take that. Let's see, if you got the personal loan just to, like, let's see, remodel your home. They can't just come and pick up and take off all the, you know, the remodeling you did to your home. So that's the difference. A car, a house, they can come, you know, repo it or foreclosure on it. So that's a little different. So they got to understand the different lines of credit, too.
It's so great that you help on that end, because someone can have this great business plan but not know how to get the financial backing. I just absolutely love that, Shina.
Yes. Thank you.
Gosh.
Thank you.
Well, overall,
the energy,
we have about
it.
4 minutes, Shina. What last words would you like to share with the listeners that they would take away with them today from this show on business plan, what you could offer as assistance as well, but for them to take away from this, what would you like to share?
I would like to share to everyone that's listening to make sure that you know that it's all about the mindset. That's the only thing that really matters. It does not matter where you come from, what you've been through, your religion, no matter anything else but the mindset. I can definitely empower you and get you to recondition your mindset so you can know that. You have to speak it into existence. If you can dream it, you can achieve it. And I'm definitely here to help you build your empire. And I am here for you. You can reach out to me and follow me. It's Shina Key. Everything Shina Key on all the social media, my website again, shinakey.com. Make sure you connect with me. It's all about feeding yourself. You have to feed yourself knowledge, powerful information. Knowledge is priceless.
Yes.
So I just wanted to share that with you. Think big to get big results.
Yes. And for someone that possibly has a large business with a lot of employees, can they contact you to come and be a keynote speaker for them to share this great information?
Absolutely, absolutely. And they can get that information. Let's see, my PR is Kelly Webb, but if they go to my website, shinakey.com, they can definitely book me there. They can shoot me an email. Again, my PR information is on my website as well. And it's not all about just being a boss, an entrepreneur. You have to be a leader. So to all my bosses out there that's listening, it's not about just being a boss. You have to be a good leader. You have to put yourself in your employee's shoes and treat them how you want to be treated, because it's nothing like being a great leader besides having that title as a boss.
Oh, I love it. You are so fantastic. You are.
Thank you.
You are so fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm just
very
so
important.
Thrilled to have had you on the show today, Shina, and share you with everyone. It's so great to have someone out there that's, you know, such a support for small business people everywhere. You know, you and I were both big fans of entrepreneurs.
Yes. We are the world, actually.
Yes.
You know, the way this world is, you know, turning around and twisting and turning. You know, it's nothing like being an entrepreneur, being in control and understanding and being able to see things as they turn firsthand. So kudos to small business owners, big business owners, entrepreneurs. Yes. It's a lot, and it is a roller coaster. Just stay on.
Oh, thank you so much. Our
thank
listeners
you for
are,
having me.
You're so welcome. Oh, I'm so grateful. Love, hugs, and blessings to everyone. Shina, love, hugs, and
thank
blessings.
You.
Beautiful day.
Thank you. Yes, and remember, Sharon is Karen. So thank you, Paula V, for sharing me with the world, your audience.
Thank you. Happy day.
All right, you too.